Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Christina Kim of Christina Kim Interior Design, all the way from Manasquan, New Jersey. In this episode, Christina shares her path to design and her strategy for launching her own design business. And I've got news for you, it did not happen overnight. Christina also shares her trials and errors and also how establishing a niche for her design business was the key to elevating her brand and attracting predictable clients. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about it on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, on with our conversation with Christina Kim. Well, hello, Christina. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Rick. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, we're so glad to have you. How are things in on the East Coast?
Good. Everything's good. A very big East Coast summer. We just finished an epic summer here, wrapped up the beach season, and it's been a lot of fun. So yeah. We're just coming down off of that install high and enjoying life here.
And now we're at the end of the year, that big push at the end of the year that we all know so well.
Oh boy, it's here.
Holidays. Well, Christina, I'm excited to talk to you about your business. But before we dive into that, let's talk about you a little bit. Tell us about yourself.
I am an interior designer and I'm based here on the Jersey Shore. It's a small little surf town called Manasquan in New Jersey. And I am the owner of a residential interior design firm. We specialize in new construction, full service and furnishings for modern beach homes. Our niche.
Excellent. Excellent. You like the way I didn't try to tackle that Manasquan? I wanted you to say it first.
Yeah. It's a little, yes.
Okay, but now I've got it. Now I've got
it. Manasquan.
Very cool. Very cool. And how long have you been in business?
About 12 years.
About 12 years.
Yep.
Great. And like, what is your experience, you know, leading up to that? Did you kind of always know that you wanted to be interior designer? Did you go to school for that? Or was it just something that kind of occurred to you, like for so many of us?
It was definitely a second career. Mm-hmm. And maybe could even be considered a third or fourth. I was just such a restless spirit in my 20s and my early 30s. I tried so many things. I was really curious and wanting to experiment. So I've done everything from, you know, very young, being a bartender to working in nightlife in New York, meeting so many creatives. I tried my hand at acting. I worked briefly for a photo licensing agency in LA, like all of those different odd jobs really informed a lot of design. Like there were so much design in those offices and so many creatives I was surrounded by. It all led here, but I just had no idea it was going to.
Wow, Christina, I bet you have some good stories. Nightlife, acting, New York. Oh my gosh.
It was fun. Exhausting. But it was fun.
So in that process, you obviously began to kind of
really kind of evaluate your surroundings and kind of identify your own creativity, it sounds like.
Definitely. You know, when I was in my 20s and in New York, some of these hotspots that we worked at, they were very, very like fashion forward and very highly designed. And there was always a design team that would come in and out. There were florists that would come and do their, you know, beautiful deliveries once a week. And there I was, like, I had gone to college. I went to USC for journalism, but that's not what I was doing. So here I was, just a young person, really soaking that up. And I was like, wow, that's a job. Like, it's a job to put together these like unique arrangements and bring it here. It's like a job to know what's gonna look good in this space. Like it, every little piece of those spaces was very, very considered. And I was just obsessed with it. I was like, wow, this is like a job. It's a profession.
I love that curiosity. Like, how does this happen? Who makes this happen? And how can I be a part of that?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's amazing. So did you go back to design school or did you just kind of dive into design, you know, maybe work for other people? How did that process happen?
I did go to design school. So by the time that I did, I was having my second child. So I was pregnant with my second baby and I was living here in New Jersey. And I was not, I was sort of just there being pregnant and taking life in. And my husband and I renovated a 100-year-old house. It had been in his family for a long time. And we moved in, we were gonna start our family there and renovated it. And that was around the time of Domino Magazine, like the heyday of Domino Magazine.
I love Domino.
I loved it. and I was really obsessed and really inspired. And so much of it was, I was reading thinking, this is for me. Like, I could do this. I can figure out how to do this. And the end result was great. Like, we loved that house. And every little piece of that house was worked on by me. And when we went to go sell it, I mean, we got full ask right away. And I just felt like, you know, I want to do this. Like, there's so much to learn here. Beyond just like, you know, making a nightclub look great, like in a home, like there's so much to this. There's so much to renovation. There's so much to the order of things and how to renovate responsibly and in a way that's stylish and personal. And I just was really so obsessed with it. And I ended up at the time, you know, I was a mom. I wasn't going to be able to, you know, take the train in to go to Parsons or somewhere in Manhattan. I went to my local community college and it was great. It was honestly awesome. It was so much harder than I ever thought and more rigorous, but it really taught me to take this job, this profession seriously. There are people all around us that work in this and I had no idea.
Right. That's amazing. That is amazing. And then what prompted you to start your own business? Like, as you were having this creative discovery about design, were you also having this discovery about, hey, I want to be a business owner? Or did you, what was your approach to launching your own business?
Well, I did work for other designers. I worked for a high-end showroom for a while, and I learned while I was in school. It was like, I couldn't get the information fast enough. And I really highly recommend working through school because everything you learn during the day, you're going on the weekend, you know, to a showroom or to work for a designer. And you see those things that you're learning in application and in real life. So it just goes, you're not going to lose that information. So after doing that for a few years and seeing some designers and businesses do things so right that I wanted to emulate and do things also just in a way I did not want to emulate, at a certain point, I really felt like, you know, I'm a mother of four. So I felt like, you know, I am just going to have to figure this time thing out. I'm just, if I want to work, I don't want to ever use my children, you know, I don't want to say as an excuse, but, you know, things happen. I don't want to put that onto another, you know, another business owner. Like if I was going to own those responsibilities and if I couldn't be there for a meeting during the day, then I was going to be the one working for myself at night when everyone was sleeping. And I feel like that's so common in this industry. But just because it's common, it doesn't mean that it's less difficult. It was hard.
It's definitely not easy. I mean, I hear you 100%. You know, that ownership comes with, you know, flexibility and a different kind of ownership, but it's certainly not easier by any means. And kudos to you. When I speak with designers who have families, I just cannot relate. Like for the 10 years that I did it, I mean, I was nonstop and it exhausted me. And all I had to look after was myself. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, and yes, I complained and I was like, how am I going to get through this day? And I need more hours in the day. And then I would talk to fellow designers who have families and I'm like, you have to go pick up your kids right now? Oh my God. Yeah,
I know. But I would be thinking that like, oh my God, I've got to pick up my kids right now. But I guess you just, you know, you just manage.
That's the beauty of our industry. And what we do is that it does allow for that flexibility. You know, we can create our own schedules and as hectic as they may be, you know, that control is very important so that we can achieve that ever elusive balance that's so important in life.
Yes, definitely.
So when you launched your own business, you launched your own business in 2012, right?
Yes.
And what was that process like? Like, were you like, okay, this is how many people I'm going to have on my team, and these are the type of jobs that I'm going to pursue? Like, did you have this big vision? And then like, what was the reality?
No, I didn't have that big vision. Actually, I was in my last semester of design school, and sort of out of nowhere, a friend of a friend had referred me to a job, and it was my very first client on my own. And it was a house, and she was going to need help with all of it. And, you know, she seemed to have a lot of faith in me. My friend seemed to have a lot of faith in me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. And I realized very quickly that it's a lot of work. And I took the semester off. And I thought, okay, I'm going to really dig into this job and set up my business properly, get a bookkeeper and figure out like what it is that I need to do. Figuring out what you need to do is a full-time job in and of itself. So, you know, I always thought I'll come back and I'll finish that last semester once there's time. And I just kept working.
The rest is history. What was one of the biggest challenges in launching your own business? What was like the biggest thing that you realized, oh my gosh, I don't have this together. I need to regroup and really get it together if I'm going to pursue this professionally.
It was definitely the business end of things. It was really so daunting because, you know, people are always saying that you want to start a new venture. They're like, oh, get a bookkeeper, get an accountant. Like, yes, I get that. But like, why? How do I do this? I don't have accounts yet. I don't have vendor relationships. Like, where do I start? And information was a lot less readily available then. And I would just go to as many industry events as possible. And I would find somebody who looked really smart in the room, who I felt like they're doing this for real. And then I would just ask them stuff. And sometimes they would walk away, crazy lady, walk away. And sometimes they would, you know, be so kind and give me so much advice. And without that, it's just information is king.
Oh, for sure. I like to say that when you go up to another designer and they're not willing to share information with you, it's because they don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah, maybe.
Me and a circle of my colleagues have decided that that's how we're going to look at that. They simply didn't know the answer because they don't know what they're doing either. So on to the next one. Eventually you will find someone who will be able to answer your question. And I love the fact that you took the initiative to get out there and network and rely on colleagues and fellow designers, your peers, for that information, because that's the very best place to really get that. And going back to your point about, okay, so I'm weak in the business area. It's a big club. And so I'm going to get myself a bookkeeper and a purchasing agent and all of these people to support my team. But you have to understand the business of design so that you can explain that to them. You know, they're going to show up, but they need direction and you need to provide that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's daunting because you don't, it's such a, in the beginning, it's such an investment in yourself that you're, you know, you're going to bring someone on to help you, and you don't want to waste any of that time, and you don't want to waste any of those dollars. But the truth is, there's a learning curve, and you're going to, and it's part of it, and that's okay. You just have to keep moving forward and keep finding better information, and then trading, you know, taking the information that you got and then giving it to whoever's on your team. Like I'm saying, giving it to them, you know, for them, for their future, and for your team.
For sure. For sure. So speaking of that learning curve, I know based on our previous conversation that part of that learning curve was really kind of identifying your lane or your pocket. And there's a lot of different words for that. What was that process like for you to kind of dabble in all different types of design and then finally say, you know what, I really need to kind of pick a lane if this is going to move forward smoothly?
It was probably from the outside, it was probably comical. It was like whatever came through the door, because, you know, in the beginning, you're just trying to get experience. So it would be like, I would say to my husband, I'm working on one room and a Victorian house. And then the next week it would be like, I think I might have gotten a Chinese restaurant. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you how do you prepare for something like that? I mean, after years of doing that, like a traditional modern would come in, a grandmother would come in, a commercial space would come in, little. I mean, I'm not talking huge projects. And I was just trying to get as much experience and I want to be good at this job, right? And my husband would be like, wow, Victorian Chinese restaurant? Like, that's like, whoa. and it took me, honestly, like 5 years to be like, I just need to niche. Like, I'm going to believe what they say, that niche is reach. Because how could you possibly predict what's going to come through your door? How could you prepare yourself to be ready to execute on a project when you're like, it could be a motel, it could be a living room, I don't know.
I love that. Of course I do salons. Yes, I do small restaurants, whatever you like.
Yep, I do dog grooming spaces, like, you know.
So what would you say is your niche now? So what is your lane? What do you specialize in?
So I feel like our sweet spot is new construction. So we're full service, new construction of modern beach homes. Do we do other things? Yes, but that is the bulk of what we do. And I feel like what we really spend a lot of time trying to be the best at. You know, there's so much of it around us, not just on a business level. Like, we live here at the Jersey Shore, so they are beach houses, they are second residences, there is a construction boom here, but it's really meaty. Like, once you commit to a niche, you're also, it's not just a look, you're committing to learn everything about that niche. What are the best products for saltwater environments? You know, what's going to hold up, what kind of windows? Like, there's so much to know, that it's really a joy to just focus on something. And maybe in 5 years or 10 years, I'll feel like I really know this. And now I want to know something else. But like right now I'm doing this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for practice makes perfect. I get it. But, you know, why not do it within that niche that you described, so that you could really, really benefit from everything that you learn with every single project and then implement that into new projects and really just maximize, you know, your impact every time.
Yeah, and get better and better every single time. It's really satisfying. It doesn't sound that exciting, but it's very satisfying.
It does sound exciting, because getting better and better at one specific thing is, I think, is probably a lot easier and probably more fulfilling than trying to get better and better and better at a whole bunch of
everything.
Things.
Everything, yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, they taught you a lot in design school, but just because you can do it all doesn't mean that you should do it all.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But it took a long time to figure out.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that road at the beginning, because every designer experiences that, and it's very difficult to like jump into a lane right out of the gate. We all had to take whatever came our way just for the sake of learning our processes and fine-tuning that. And I mean, God bless our clients who supported us through that process. You know, without them, where would we be? But at some point, we need to eventually, you know, hone in on something a little more specific just to achieve that predictability that you described, as far as knowing what that next project's going to be, who's going to be walking through the door.
Yeah, and to plan for it. And like, just to know, like, you're going to be the best designer for them because you know how to do this and you are going to guide that project. You are going to lead. It takes a while to get there though.
I noticed in your website that you're very specific about what you put out there and what it is that you specialize in. And I think it's important that messaging to clients, you're telling them like, this is what I do and this is what I specialize in. So if that's what you want, then let's talk. So you almost know who's going to be on the other end of that communication when they reach out to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they've really read through every page of the website. They have very specific questions because they came to me because they're literally building a beach house here. And we literally do that.
Right.
So
that makes you a fit.
Yeah, we are a fit. We will come together. Yes.
That is great. I mean, I love the fact that you are practicing that consistency and repeatable process in business on the surface, but then as you dig deeper in your marketing and everything else as well, because it does trickle down to everything.
Oh, it does. But it makes it easier to find your voice. Like the more specific your niche is, it's almost like this stuff sort of writes itself, like what your Instagram posts are going to be, what you want to show people, because it's really to show them your process and what you can do, your right. area of expertise.
Yeah, you have that single point of reference and everything should align with it. And it does. It helps you. It helps with that voice. So, Christina, tell me about your team. How many people do you have on your team and how does that work for you?
So we are a team of three right now with a bookkeeper and also an accountant. So it would be myself and I am involved still in every single project. I lead every project as the principal. Then we have a construction designer. So she's really that whole phase one of a new construction project when you're doing finishes, cabinetry, you know, you're deciding where the beams are going to go, any sort of specialty plumbing. She's my girl and she's been with me the longest. And then there's Allie, our design assistant, and she's just organized and creative to the max. And she, you know, handles the day to day and assists both designers. And then in addition to that, we do have our bookkeeper and our accountant because, oh boy,
you need them. You got to have them. You got to have them. I always tell designers, like, if you're still doing that yourself, kudos to you, because every designer needs to have a handle on their finances for sure. But at some point, if you're struggling with spending as much time as you'd like on the creative, the first thing that's got to give way is admin, purchasing, accounting. you know, like I said, you need to understand it first. But yeah. Once you do, by all means, hand it off to someone. And I am always telling the designers too, don't hire someone to do that who wants to be a designer. Like don't hire a design student to come in and handle purchasing because all they really want to do is design. So it's really just a stepping stone for them. And in business, that is not a stepping stone. That is a very important, integral part of our business.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. It's absolutely true. I feel like we've all made that mistake though. You know, you put your ad out for your first employee, maybe it's a design assistant. And there's a difference between a junior designer and a design assistant. And I think that we often get confused, you know, like, okay, you can move up into a design position when really you're thinking this is going to be my admin like they're going to help me with operations and day-to-day and office management and admin. And those are two totally different things.
Yeah. And you need to clarify that. Otherwise they're like, when do we go to the design center? When do I get to pick fabrics?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, never mind. Get back on that calendar.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're not going to like me. Yep.
Oh my gosh. That is so great. Well, we've got some signature questions here on the podcast. So I appreciate you kind of sharing your story and your background and how you got there. I think we covered some great topics that I think a lot of design professionals can relate to. And maybe with these questions, we can expand on them a little bit more. Starting with the secret to your survival. So having launched your own business in 2012 and going through the process that you've explained to us and shared with us, what would you consider like your secret to survival in the business of design this far?
Well, on a broader level, I would say optimism. It's just an undying optimism, because there are days where you're like, I don't see how this is going to work out, but I am going to just choose to believe that it's going to. And you really need that and resilience. Aside from that, I would say letting my team be like exactly who they are. So I definitely, I have a strong team, and I feel like it's really important. I'm always telling them, be 1,000% who you are, with how you speak to clients, how you dress, how you can get into your creative zone, or how you can stay in your zone of genius. I want them to, I don't want them to ever feel like I'm pushing them in one sort of direction. I hired them for a reason, and I want them to be strong in areas that likely I'm not strong in. So we all have to have our zones. So that's something that we talk about a lot here. And then I also think a key element is what we touched on before, is it's helped me survive in this business by defining my niche and to really grow and understand it.
I love the fact that you are really on board with that authenticity, which I think is so important in business right now. And I know it seems to be like a buzzword, but with that aside, it actually is very, very important in business. And, you know, we as design professionals, we're doing everyone a disservice if we're not really showing our clients exactly who we are and not really having a true connection, because these jobs are very personal and they're very long term. And so these clients, you know, we establish relationships with them. I love the fact that that trickles down to your employees, because you also want them to show you exactly who they are so that you can integrate them the best possible way that you can into your team, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and we all have wildly different strengths, and I just feel like we feed off of each other. You know, someone's good at something else, and it'll open a door for all of us. It'll make it easier, because nobody on the team could have done that except for that person.
I think that's the best possible way to identify strengths, is to just let everybody be who they are and do what they do, because there's nothing worse than being like, hey, I didn't know you did Photoshop. You've been here how long?
Yes, you've been holding out on me. That's gold. I want to know. I want to know everything you're good at.
Right, for sure.
And everything you're not good at. Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? So what have you learned now that would have been very helpful in 2012 when you launched your business?
Yeah, so many things. So many things. But I think just that I wish there was so much insecurity at the time when I started. Like, who am I to say I can run a business? Like, I've never run a business before. Like, how do I do this? And the truth is, I wish I knew that in that moment, I already had everything I needed to succeed. That success wouldn't be overnight, but you already have those things. You need to be curious. You need to have common sense. I think it's totally underrated. You need to have common sense and just the willingness to work hard. And you're going to come across things where you don't know, or you don't understand, or you don't have the answer, but you can find the answer. You can find somebody who has that answer for you. You can find it. So I wish I knew that I didn't have to know everything. Also, if I could look back at myself and give myself a word of advice, it would be to not rush. You know, there's no timeline in design. People come into design as a second career, a third career. You get better and better. It's one of those, it's a career that you get better and better as you go, and with age and experience. So I would look back at me with my little babies thinking, everybody's got a profession and everybody's got a successful firm, and I'm rocking my babies, and I hope that I won't get left behind in the dust. And you won't. It's going to be there. It's whenever your time is your time, it's going to be there. I wish I could have not put as much pressure on myself.
I think that's great advice. And that's such a great, you know, observation. And I say this all the time, that, you know, the business of design, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a long time to get where you envision yourself to be, because hard work, you know, it doesn't happen fast. You know, you need that trial and error process like you described to us.
Yes.
And you need to learn and practice over and over and over in order to get, you know, to that level. And then even when you're at that level, there's still another level and another level. There's always a learning curve. It never goes away.
It never goes away. And that's what's so exasperating about this business and so exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Definitely. Yep. I mean, how many other businesses are there where you're like, okay, I've gotten here. Now what? Now what? And to actually have opportunity, there's a lot of ceilings out there in different businesses. And in our industry of design, there are no ceilings. Like, the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. It's whatever you can write up for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so our final question is, how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community? So with all of this trial and error and all of this knowledge that you've learned over the course of launching and implementing your own design business, how do you pay it forward in our design community and, you know, kind of give back?
For me, it's on a very local level. I have a very young team. I really love to mentor people. We have interns here all the time. I mean, I have high school interns. You know, the local high school is actually, you know, teaching their interested kids in learning AutoCAD, in learning 3D modeling. So, like, they're welcome here. Even if they don't know that this industry is for them, I want them to know that this is a very viable industry. You can make a living as a creative. Come see it in your little local beach town. Here, I'm here. You know, if you want to ask me a question, if I have time, I will try to do it. People will want to meet for coffee and ask how I set my business up, or maybe they're thinking of majoring in interior design in college. What courses should they take? Should it be commercial? Should it be residential? I will try to take the time and to answer their questions, because that's like gold. There were times where, you know, I would ask people questions in the beginning, as I mentioned, and they wouldn't answer me, or they'd be really vague. And I'd be like, I'm not trying to steal your secrets. I just need to know where to start. And that time can literally save someone like years, you know what I mean? Like years of just running in place, where you could just be learning your craft. On a very local level. And I love meeting with my fellow interior designers. You know, we have a very strong network here in New Jersey. Pre-pandemic, I would see them all the time. There are charity functions. I love it.
We'll all be back together again soon. And I'm glad that you have a tight network of peers within the design community there in New Jersey, because I think that's so important. And I mean, that's really the foundation of this podcast, is really just to reinforce that sense of community and sharing information. And like, even when, I mean, a very important component of my business is consulting. And I still tell designers when we meet for the first time, I'm not sure I can tell you exactly how to do it. I could probably tell you how not to do it. I can tell you that for sure. Yes, and sometimes there's more value in that, you know what I mean? Because it's just about talking to someone who gets it, who does what you do, because we do it very different.
Yes. I mean, every designer does it so differently. And I think seeing a designer in their day-to-day, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and that designer being willing to talk about it, that's gold. I mean, because that could really give somebody just enough nerve to even try. You know, if you feel like it's so unattainable, I feel like it stops a lot of people from trying. So
yeah, I can speak to that, because I mean, the designers that opened the doors for me when I was launching my business, like, they are the reason that I'm still in this industry. Yes. I definitely had the door slammed in my face a few times, and that's okay. I'm really lucky that I persevered like you did, and kept asking other designers and kept asking the questions until I found that small tribe of designers that were willing to share information. And that really triggered me to say, okay, I've found my place. And I'm definitely, when the time comes, I'm going to pay it forward. So
yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a great thing. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being on the podcast and having this conversation with me. I just think that these conversations, as simple as they may seem, are so valuable to other designers out there that are listening, especially young designers who are thinking about launching a business. Tell us, how can we learn more about you online and on Instagram?
On Instagram, you can find us at C Kim Interior Design. We are on Facebook, Christina Kim Interior Design, and our website, ChristinaKimInteriorDesign.com.
Excellent. Your website is beautiful, by the way. So everyone, thank go you. Check it out. Your vibe, super cool. Love
thank
it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I had a blast. It was so good talking to you.
We could do this for hours. In fact, we just might.
We just might.
Thanks, Christina. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Rick. Talk soon.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I love chatting with Christina for so many reasons. I mean, for starters, she's a badass mom. I mean, shout out to all the parents out there that are holding it down. You're amazing. I mean, she's a visionary. She's not afraid of hard work. And she's certainly not afraid to ask the hard questions. I think her path is so relatable to so many designers out there. And if you're thinking about launching your own design business and you're wondering if you can really balance it all, I think Christina is truly an inspiration. I appreciate the fact that Christina shared so candidly that just figuring it all out was a full-time job in itself. Understanding the business of design is a huge undertaking, and not everything can be taught in school or learned on a podcast. You have to get out there and connect with your peers and develop a network of resources to inform and guide you. The good news is there's an entire community of designers out there ready and willing to share and help guide you to success. So go ahead and approach the smartest looking designer in the room and ask the hard questions. We talk about establishing a niche for your design business all the time, and Christina really nailed it when she said that establishing a niche really helps refine your marketing efforts and attract predictable clients and projects. We all say yes to everything at the beginning in order to learn the ropes and get our processes dialed in. But at some point, we need to reel it in and apply what we've learned to a more refined vision of our business. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. And speaking of reaching more designers just like you, have you checked out our Member Vault platform yet? This is our response to the need for an accessible, convenient, online community with more information and resources to help take your business to the next level. Take a tour direct from our website by clicking the Member Vault tab on the homepage. If you're a design student or emerging design professional thinking about launching your own design business, be sure to check out our Design Biz Launchpad, developed especially for you. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.